Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Hello from chilly East Lansing, where we are. Paul Rogers and I are under the gun today because we got to the airport, and Kenny Klein, of all people, who's always the nicest human being around, said, you know, you guys have really got to pick it up here, because they went to the Bahamas without either of us and won the tournament. And so, like, now if they don't win, that's going to be Paul and my fault. I know he's only kidding, but it is amazing. I've told the story before that coaches, you know, not all coaches, this is definitely a Tom Crean-ism, keeps track of who the, like, how they play what based on who the announcers are. I had one of their games in the Garden a long time ago. He was still at Indiana, and all of a sudden from across the arena, I heard, "Oh no, you're here again." And I was like, "Oh my God, what an awful thing to say." And then I looked, and it was Crean, and he said, I'm 2-4 with you." I was like, "Wow." It's like, Tom, I really didn't have a whole lot to do with that, but he was kidding, I think. But anyway, that's where we are. We're here in East Lansing, 7:15 tonight, part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. And should be a good game if Louisville brings the same kind of the weird thing is, and this is something I'll be curious to see. You know, they're talking about they want to play faster, and the fans love that, and the players love that, and frankly, I love that. But really, what carried them in the Bahamas was not any kind of a dramatic increase in offense, although they, you know, scored a lot of points in the first game against Mississippi State. But the thing they did consistently in both games was they defended and they rebounded. And certainly, you better do those things when you play Michigan State, or you're going to have a very long night. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of tempo this game takes. I don't know if it's going to be. I mean, it could be another rock fight like it was with Maryland. I don't know. It's hard to say because, you know, we know that Izzo wants his guys to play a physical game. I'm not sure they really are, though, this team. It's really strange. They're better at point guard. Because they last year, you know, he had a couple of guys that, by his own admission, he was trying to put a round peg in a square hole, as he said. He was trying to get them to be point guards, and they really weren't. And so he's got, you know, a better situation at point guard this year. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not sure they're quite as physical as they, you know, would like to be. He's got a point guard, Tyson Walker, who was the defensive player of the year at Northeastern last year, and he's quick, and Tom, for all the thoughts about how physical they play, Izzo, they like to run. They do like to run. They want to get it off the board and get it to the guard and go, and so he can do that. But he's still, again, I didn't see them since the first game. The first game I saw them, and he was still trying to figure out, and the players, his teammates, were trying to figure out, you know, when to go with him and when, you know, not, when to push it, when to pull it out. And so he had some mistakes that you think that he'll play through. Like I said, if you're trying to get guys to play fast, you have to accept a couple of mistakes early in the year. And so I think Tom Izzo was doing that. But, you know, they does give them a different a point guard this year that's a true point guard and a very good defender. But I'm not sure they're quite as physical as he really wants them to be, which is very strange. So we'll see. We will see how it plays out for them this year, and we'll certainly see how it plays. I said earlier, And it's not like I don't think they're good or going to be good, but I think that of the four teams that I had in the Champions Classic in the Garden, they were behind the other three just a little bit. Kansas, Kentucky, and Duke. And but again, you know, that's the beauty of this year as opposed to last year, that these coaches have a chance to work with their teams. Last year, you know, really, really unusual records, the whole bunch of them. You know, I mean, starting with Kentucky was 9-16, but Michigan State was barely over 500, and they had to win like their last five games to do it. And they managed to sneak in the tournament by doing that, but they were barely over 500. I think they were 15-13 or 14-12 or something like that. Duke was much the same. But those coaches couldn't work with their teams, and so I think you really see what a difference it makes when you get to see the opportunity that they have to work with their teams. So it's only seven games in the book. But Michigan State right now is, in terms of rebounding, they're still doing their thing. They out-rebound their opponents by 8.3 a game. They do that. Hello, Nicholas Nutramigen, the big hitter producers in health. They're playing very good defense. They give up only 37% shooting. They're giving up only 28% behind the three-point line. But the opponents still do make more threes than Michigan State does. They make six. Michigan State makes five. And they're not a great free throw shooting team. But they, again, they do rebound. The turnover situation, though, they're still minus three. They still haven't quite figured out how to handle the ball the way that they want to. And so we'll see, because when Louisville has forced turnovers, then they've been able to get their running game going and they've been good. But, you know, now Chris is back. I don't know. We're going to see how much he wants to try and create turnovers. That's never been a big priority of his. We've talked about that. Opponents average 16 points off turnovers a game. Michigan State only 14. So it's going to be a battle of possessions. Opponents get almost 8 steals a game against them. So, that's going to be, can you hold your own on the boards? Are you going to be able to find a way to get good shots? And if you can get some good shots, maybe you can do that if you can force some turnovers and get easy ones that way. I think that's going to be, a big part of the game for Louisville tonight. 7:15, we'll see how it plays out. Going to be a challenge, but that would be a great win. Keep Louisville on a bit of a roll if they can keep it going. So we shall see how it plays out tonight. 437-9680, if you want to get in touch with us. I want to get on to something else in a minute, but just if you're wondering, because most of you guys probably haven't followed it all that closely. They played Kansas. They drilled Western Michigan. They drilled Butler by 21. They beat Eastern Michigan by 24. They beat Loyola the other day in Atlantis by just 2. This is the team that was the darling of the NCAA tournament. And they beat UConn by 4, and they lost to Baylor by 17 in their last game. So they made it to the championship game in Atlantis and lost to Baylor, who won the title down there. So they've played some teams. You know, it's not like they're going to come in here and say, oh, Louisville, we haven't seen a team of that caliber. They've been playing some people, but it's going to be an interesting game, and I hope Louisville can keep playing with the same kind of fire they played down in the Bahamas. We'll see. So we'll see how it plays out. I do want to get into this, because I sent a tweet out the other day, got a lot of responses, and I want to go on the record so that I don't think there's any doubt, but I was saying, but I sent a tweet out that said, and let me read it so I don't misquote myself. How about that? Here we go. It is, let's see if I could find it. That's me. And then there's my profile. And then there's my tweet, which says that I've always liked Jeff Brohm, the whole Brohm family, but aren't there a whole bunch of Cards fans who are clamoring for him now that are the same ones who were killing him when he said no 3 years ago? It's the same guy, isn't it? And some guy who's absolutely hell-bent to get him back here as the coach, you know, linked it to Vince and said, see, even Bob wants Brohm. And I didn't say that. And it's not, I meant what I said. I like Jeff. But I, again, just as a general policy, it really strikes me as vulturish when you're trying to pick successors for a job that's not open. Once the job's open and you want to ask me who do you think should get the job, fine. I'll be happy to talk to you about it. But I'm not going to be talking about guys taking a job that's not open. I mean, it's disrespectful and it's wrong, to be honest, because if you want to ask the question, because I'll tell you, I'll go one further so you know exactly where I stand on this. Okay, because there's such a groundswell now for people, and I get it, by the way, that sometimes athletic directors have to make choices because of their customer base. I mean, it's not necessarily a guy who says I'm you know, like Boone, whatever that guy's name was, T. Boone Pickens or whatever his name was, that, well, you know, I'm gonna, if you don't fire this guy, I'm not going to give you my $1 million. I think that's wrong. I think it's a horrible way to run an athletic program. But if your customers are going to say, I'm not coming to the games anymore, you know, we saw that with some, when Cragthorpe was here. If that's the case, then that could lead to a change because it is a business. I've said that. No matter what you say about it, it's a business. They can call it whatever they want. It's a business. And in business, you got a product. And if nobody is interested in your product, you got to figure out a way to change the product. And again, I'm not saying that that's the case, but I am saying I it's important that you hear me, that I'm not making it sound like the fans are insignificant in this. But I'm not going to be privy to, let's see if we can, you know, vulturize and start picking successors when the job's not even open yet. Now, as to making a change, here's what I would say. You're probably not going to like it. I don't know necessarily. This is really going to probably, oh, this will definitely piss off some folks, but what the hell. I don't know necessarily that what they've done on the field in the overall scheme of things is meriting a change, because I don't look at just the Kentucky game, because I know that's the bottom line. I do get it. Rivalry games count for more, and you can't go to work tomorrow without Joe at the coffee, at the coffee machine, or even Mary at the water cooler giving you crap, and you know, that makes people's stomachs turn. I get all that. I get it all. But I'm looking at it as a business person, and looking at, let's just assume for a minute we're leaving out the whether the fans will come to the game. Okay, leave that out for a second. I've already accounted for the fact that that's important, but let's leave it out for a second. I look at his first year, they were very, very good. I write off the COVID year, which you could say I shouldn't, but I do, because to me it was an absolute, you know, take a look at what it did to basketball, for goodness sake. You can't tell me that Cal's a 9-16 coach and Krzyzewski's a non-NCAA tournament coach and Izzo got stupid all of a sudden and barely sneaked in by winning a bunch of games late. But that was largely because he was able to finally work with his team again. I mean, it was a messed up year. Okay, this year they were middle of the pack. Is that great? No, but it's not terrible. They were 4-4 in the league. They're going to go to a bowl game. You know, it was. It's not a nightmare year. It's not a Detroit Lions-esque year. It's not. They outscored opponents in conference games 266-191. That's a margin of 75 positive plus 75. I mean, that's Clemson, for example, was plus 36. Florida State was minus 36. NC State, who was 6-2, was, what did I say, Louisville was plus 75. NC State was plus 70, it was plus 85, 10 points more. I mean, so, and that's a barometer. Again, you get mad at me if you want to, but I read the football metrics, guys, and just like run differential in baseball, is significant, you know, point differential is a very significant yardstick in gauging how strong a team really is. And so they were not terrible. The chagrin, it doesn't correspond with the whole body of work on the field. On the field, that is. That's how I feel. I mean, it is not. I mean, listen. When Ron Cooper was 1-10, or when he 1-10, I think he was. I understood that. I mean, you know, that was the chagrin involved in that was awful. I got that. But this is not anywhere near that. And yet, everybody is so bent out of shape because the Kentucky game was so bad. And I got news for you. This will piss you off a little bit. Kentucky's pretty good. I mean, that's the reality of it. They're pretty good. I mean, they went through a 3-week stretch where their fans got disgusted with them, which is, you know, that's what fans do. But they're a good football team. He's built a good program there, and he's been there a long time now, and he built it piece by piece. So I'm just saying, you know, his start there is not a whole lot more spectacular than Satterfield's start here was. Go look back. I mean, like I said, I'm just amazed that the quick turnaround in people's minds. They were talking so much. I don't remember, 4 years ago was it, maybe? Because football season was getting ready to start, and the Kentucky fans were calling the show to say, basically, I just have no enthusiasm for the year this year. I'm not excited about it. I just get through it. Let's get to basketball. And it's the same guy, same school, same conference, same everything. And now he's, you know, fantastic. He had time to build, and he built the right way. He built from the line out. And so my point is, it's not remotely commensurate with the reaction of people by what's going on the field. It's just not. Sorry. You can tell me, did you see the game? I did. They got embarrassed. They got absolutely face planted. Got it. But that's one game against a very, very good team. And I hate to say it, but, you know, an hour after he found out his father died, I'd have been in a funk also. Now, having said that, the part I think that is difficult is he hasn't helped himself at all with the stuff off the field. I mean, the South Carolina thing, which he just kept making worse the more he talked about it. I didn't understand that. I guess he thought he was, you know, having integrity to say, listen, yes, I mean, I'm interested in going near closer to home. You know, I am interested in that. You know, I didn't handle it well. I'm sorry for that. But, if I came up again, I can't lie and say I wouldn't be interested in going. That may have been, you know, like I said, if he's telling you what he really felt, that's admirable in a way. But you also, how you package it and how you say it and when you choose to say it and the framework is very important. And he just didn't look like he understood. He didn't get it. He doesn't do a very good job of reading the room, and so maybe he does feel, I'm sure he does, feel in his heart that if he watches film, which I don't, and most of you don't, he looks at the film and he goes, boy, we're a lot better at that than we were last year or 2 years ago. I'm sure, you know, he probably feels that way. He said in the presser, you know, we made a lot of progress this year. That's not the time to say it. People don't want to hear that then. You got to read the room. They're irate. They're humiliated. The stadium emptied out at halftime. I mean, you can't ignore all that. You just can't and expect to have a connection with your fan base. And he does that a lot, I'm sorry to say. That is a problem. He doesn't read the room very well. Sometimes the more he talks, the more he makes it worse for himself. You know, fans are mad. They want to see that you're mad, and you got to show them that you're mad. You know, I get it to some degree. He's probably like, well, I'm not going to throw my players under the bus. Well, that's fine. You could still show how mad you are without throwing your whole team under the bus. You know, that's in fact a skill that you need to have as the leader of the program. So that I can't speak to. I don't think, you know, that's been a very positive trait of his so far. I said when he first came here, I thought it was very good that you ask him a question, he gave you an answer. That's a nice thing. We go through a lot of coaches who give you the Gregory Hines, you know, tap dance. But, he answers the questions. But sometimes you can still answer a question without getting such a misread of what's going on in the room. I guess that's the real skill. When you can do that, if you give people pablum, they get tired of it. If you just absolutely spill your guts every time the press conference is going on, people don't know how to deal with that either. So that doesn't work. But you got to find a fine line of being of a leader, which says, I feel your pain. I'm as pissed off as you are, but we're determined. We're going to make this better. That didn't come across. It was like, yeah, we made progress this year, you know. And the idea about, you know, we didn't think you ran that much, that would have had my attention. I mean, so those things I think have been a problem. But the part about the thing about Brom that I said was not because, like, a guy sent that to Vince Tyre saying Bob's clamoring for, if you lose Bobby V, you've lost Card Nation. I'm not clamoring for Jeff, but when I say that, it's not because I don't think he's a good coach. I first of all, I like him very much personally. He's great when he comes on with us. I think he's done a hell of a job there. I think he does a good job, and I think he is a very good coach. But there's no job opening here right now. So I'm not going to be vulturing around. I'm sorry. I don't operate that way. And if you know that's if the video comes open, if any job comes open, I'll be happy to talk with you about you know whether so and so is a good candidate or not. But it's not open right now. But I'm just amazed. The same people. I mean, we went through a week. No matter what topic came up on the show, of people calling and killing Jeff Brom, killing him. Just killing them. That you know, ungrateful. You got a chance to come home. You won't come home, and blah blah blah, and this and that. And now all of a sudden, he's the savior. It's the same guy. That's why I didn't say those things about him then, because now, and I get it. You want him, that's fine. But I mean, I don't know. I guess I take myself too seriously. I couldn't look myself in the mirror and feel like that's such a hypocritical take. I mean, it's different. At the time, you didn't say he's not a good coach. You said he's a bad guy. Now, all of a sudden, he's a great guy. I mean, I never said he was a bad guy. I always thought he was a good guy. I mean, but my point is, and somebody says, well, you know, it just comes down to this. This is what it comes down to, and this is what it boils down to in one sentence. Everybody's pissed off about the Kentucky game. That's what it comes down to. They're pissed off about the Kentucky game, that the game was lost so embarrassingly. Their quarterback was L's downing everybody in the end zone. It was just a nightmare. And you got to spend your wrath at somebody, and the coach is the most convenient guy. And then he doesn't make it any better because, as I said, his comments afterwards are not what you'd be looking for. So I get all that, but I like there's no job open here, dudes. I mean, there may be. I don't know. And people are saying, well, we're going to wait a while and then it'll be open. I don't know. Maybe I don't know that for a fact. I mean, as I said, if you look at the body of work overall, they outscored people in the conference by 75 points. That's not insignificant. Wake Forest is the first place team in the conference. They outscored people by 98. I mean, not an enormous disparity. They outscored people in the conference by a lot more than Clemson did. Clemson outscored them by 36, and they outscored Clemson by 70 points. I mean, you know, and Clemson was 9-3. You know, Louisville was just 4-3 at home. That's the one thing that separated them from the top four teams in the league. Wake was undefeated at home. NC State was undefeated at home. Clemson was undefeated at home. 6-0, 7-0, 6-0, respectively. Louisville was just 4-3. That makes people sad. They want to go to games, drink their beer, and see you win. I mean, that's a simple formula. But they didn't this year as much as, you know, they would like. But it's the Kentucky game. That's what it is. And you know, if you do that, that's I get it as a fan. You're mad. You want to, like I said, you're going to bark at something. I just try and get you to bark up the right tree. I don't know that that's the right tree. I mean, like I said, maybe, who knows? And I love the fact, this is the other thing I love. He's just like he could just, you know, call Duke and say, hey, I'm coming, I'm taking the job. You know, that was his dream school. He could go back and coach him. No disrespect, because I'm not contradicting myself. I mean, you say, well, why would you say that if you think he's such a good coach? Why wouldn't they want him? But there's no guarantee that they're going to offer him a job. People are just moving these people around like they're chess pieces, like they have no, you know, say in their own lives. Like, I'm going to take Jeff and move him over here. And I'm going to move Satterfield over there, and then I'll move this guy over here. And it's very strange that, you know, I get it. And I get the fact that everybody's so mad they have to do something. You know, and you can't break your furniture. It's too expensive. So you just, you know, hope that somebody will break Satterfield's furniture. That's what it comes down to.
Well, that's kind of mean.
Well, I mean, it is mean. I mean, it's crazy. It's not commensurate with the job that they did this year to be that pissed off. But again, that's football. I mean, you know, they ran Ed Orgeron out of town. By the way, I was celebrating Brian Kelly because when he came, where did he come from originally? Remember when he took the Cincinnati job? He refused to come down unless he could coach his team in wherever he came from. Remember, wherever the hell he was coaching, they got a bowl bid, and he said, I'm not coming unless, you know, and he made his staff basically prepare for two different bowl games, which was interesting.
Central Michigan.
Central Michigan. He had a Central Michigan. They got a bowl bid, and his staff, they were putting together a game plan for that, and then they put a game plan together for the, because Cincinnati, I guess, was in a bowl game, and they were, he was running both programs, and I was like, wow, that was a good guy. And now, the more I read, not such a good guy. It's just,
well, there was a tweet. It was from, what was it? Like November 22nd, like a week ago or so, a week and change. And it was on Twitter. Someone was looking it up, and it was Brian Kelly, you know, using the Mike Tomlin, like, unless a $250 million, like, tooth fairy comes down, you know, I'd have to check on that and run it by my wife. But besides that, I'm staying here. I'm paraphrasing. But it was basically that. And then, sure enough, like, 10 days later, gone.
Why do you guys say that? They just can't help themselves. They should just shut up.
I mean, the second Lincoln Riley was like, I belong in Oklahoma, I was like, all right, you're gone. I was like,
you know, it's funny because back in November, around, you know, middle part of November, I don't know why, but I get vibes that guys are leaving. And I just said, Brian Kelly's not going to be back at Notre Dame. I don't know why, but he's just going to go. I just feel
Spidey sense was tingling.
Yeah, I don't know why. And I'm not right all the time, but I'm right a lot. And I felt like he was going, and he did. So anyway, but it sucks that they leave. My greatest joy would be, this would be so spectacularly great to finally point out the absurdity of college football, is if they give Luke Fickell the Notre Dame job, and then Notre Dame and all the teams ahead of them lose, and Notre Dame and Cincinnati both get into the playoff. That would be so terrific.
That would be kind of fun.
That would be awesome. I mean, that especially if they get if they have to play each other. That would be really cool. Now what the hell is Luke Fickell going to do? Instead of the common sense, which would be like they do in the NFL, is you finish your damn season. You know, oh, it's recruiting. You got to understand, it's recruiting. You're just, well, then maybe think twice about firing your guy or something. But the guy should finish the season. Absolutely should finish the damn season. And it'll change your recruiting calendar. I don't care, but make it so that it makes sense. But it's ridiculous. And this would only point out the wonderful absurdity, which, by the way, is also going to be a problem if they go to an 18 playoff. Never crossed my mind before till now. But, you know, the 18 playoff will be guys that are coming off great years. And guys that are coming off great years in football inevitably get wanderlust. They want to go somewhere. You may have like four teams in the playoffs. You know, they'll have to be like those Domino's delivery cars driving themselves because they won't have any driver. I mean, yeah, it's just, I'd like to start a college and do two things. I thought about this today.
I think there's a sim game where you can do that.
Well, my college would be great because here's my whole recruiting pitch. We have plenty of parking spaces. If whatever how many cars we anticipate, we will have 150% of that number of parking spaces. And I'm telling you, I'll be in more homes with people sending deposits because every college I go, literally every single one I go, they are all fighting over parking. They hate parking. There's no parking. I can't park. There's no place to park. There's nowhere to go. There's restriction. I can't go here. You can't go there. Every single school, I don't care how small it is. I went to the tiniest school you could go to. There were 1,000 students. No parking. You go to University of South Florida, where my wife went, where there's 30,000 students. No parking. I'm at Michigan State here today. Excuse me. No parking. There's no parking. That would be my first pitch.
I've got about a million boots that
yeah,
that agree with that sentiment.
Come to my place. We got plenty of parking. I mean, we'll have books in the library, and we'll have teachers who know what the hell they're doing. All that'll be great. But we have parking. And the other thing is, what are they paying? What are they paying him? $15 million? Is that what they're paying?
Who? Which one?
What are they paying Kelly?
Brian Kelly. I'm not sure what the new contract is. That sounds right, though.
Let me see if I can get my calculator out here. Let's do this. Here's my thing. I'm going to get my school. Here we go.
Brian Kelly's LSU contract. Let's see here. Six-figure bonuses. He gets two cars.
Care about that. Let's put $10 million. We'll be conservative.
Total compensation is at least $100 million over 10 years.
Over the time. But $10 million a year, okay?
All right.
I'm going to get that $10 million. And I'm going to divide it among 100 football players. Each of them is going to get $100,000. They're going to get $100,000, and basically they're going to run the program themselves. I'm going to have a couple of adult supervisors there to make sure that they don't steal the equipment and start fighting on the sideline, but they'll figure it out themselves for $100,000. And
they're going to get a Reggie Dunlop player coach or two.
I'm loving that. Yes, they'll pick captains, and the captain of the offense, captain of the defense, captain of the special teams. You know, the quarterbacks will call their own game like they did back before the coaches ruined everything, and then we'll see. And I will have that and parking. I will have I'll sew up the country. I'll have every great player, and the waiting list to get in my school will be off the charts. Off the charts.
Bobby V, campus president.
That's and the third thing I'll do is I won't serve crappy food in the cafeteria, although I think a lot of schools have done better with that. But I will definitely put you're going to get good food, and you're going to get plenty of parking, and you guys come in, we'll give you $100,000 each, and you guys, it's all yours. And we're not paying some big coach to abandon you before your biggest games. You're going to stay there, and I the whole country would root for them. For these kids, it would be spectacular. Nothing short of spectacular. Hell, I could cut it down to $50,000 a man, and I would still have $5 million left to put supervisors there. You know, so and maybe like four.
I feel like not like there. You should not, hire not like some now. Coach. You should hire a couple coaches. Get like
yeah, that's what I said. Get like four guys.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, get some guys that used to coach. You know, they're on the back nine, and then you know they can come in and. You know, offer some sage wisdom, but for the most part, it's a player run.
They can teach skills, and they can sit down. But ultimately, the decisions in the pecking order are the captains. The captains are the ones that are going to do it. They're going to put the game plan together, and you know, with input from the coaches. But the coaches are not going to come in like they do now with like the emperors, and you know, the kids have to bow down before them. And you know, and these kids at Notre Dame fired up. They may have a chance to play for a national championship. They haven't played for a national championship there. You know, they haven't had a national championship there in a long time. And he meets them and talks to them for 11 minutes, and then leaves. You know, that's the captains are not going to do that. I don't think. Let's hope not. I mean, the captains are not going to just walk because they're not getting $50,000 somewhere else. You know,
I really hope something like, it. You know, you're picking up Simon's poop and you find out like you're on an oil well or something, or you stumble on some Bitcoins or just something happens that you can make this happen. I think awesome. That would be absolutely hilarious. What would you call the school? V-Tech?
Oh, wait, practical. There's already one. Practical University.
Practical University.
Common Sense College. CSC.
I feel like Jay Billis would be
I'd have to money whip Billis to come and be my athletic director.
Well, we don't have Jay Billis on. We have Seth Greenberg coming up at 2 o'clock. But maybe you can pitch that idea to him. Now, him and Billis went back and forth on, you know, player compensation a few times. But
yeah, Seth doesn't want to pay anybody.
Yeah. But, you know,
he can't work at my school.
He could be your coach. He could be your voice of reason as you and Billis are trying to give the kids planes and stuff.
No. We're not going to do that. We're not spoiling them. We're just doing it practically. How in the world, all these years, have we told the players we can't pay them and we can give coaches of $15 million a year? How? I mean, think about that. If you have a 100-man roster, that's $100,000 a player. No, that's $150,000 a player. I did it off $10 million. $150,000 a player for one guy. How in the world can you look them in the face, say, go out there, put your health on the line, and, you know, and it's very demanding. You know, it's going to make it harder for you to get good grades, and ultimately that's why most of you are here. Most of you are not going to play professional football. So let's do that, but we're going to give that guy $15 million, and he can leave you anytime he wants, but you... You know, up till now, couldn't go anywhere. And you're not getting any money from us. If you want to go get another job or something, go ahead. It would be like telling Brian Kelly, come on, you can coach at LSU. Go get all the money you want elsewhere. We're not paying you, though. I mean, they'd say, what are you, nuts? Well, but for players, that's okay. So, unbelievable. So
There's a proverbial arse load of texts you want to get to here.
Okay, well, we'll do that on the other side. So we'll take a short break. But first, let me tell you about my good friends at QC Kinetics. They, you know, we're getting to the end of the year. Do you really want to go through another year with that awful joint pain? Don't do it. Resolve right now. Get yourself moving again for the new year. This is a permanent, lasting solution. Time to call QC Kinetics. And the great thing is it's non-surgical. It's a regenerative treatment for joint pain, lasting results, natural biologics. This is cutting-edge stuff with no surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, and no downtime. It's really exciting stuff, and it lasts. That's the thing. You take a pain pill, you say, oh, it feels good, and then 8 hours later, you're right back where you started. Not with this. It uses the body itself to heal itself using highly concentrated natural biologics. Patients rave about it for hip pain relief, knee pain relief, shoulder and back pain. Don't let them keep giving you steroids. Don't let them tell you your surgery is the only option. Get a free. It's a free. You got nothing to lose. Call them at QC Kinetics. Do it now. Imagine life in 2022 without pain. Call the local medical professionals at QC Kinetics. 502-219-4636. That's 502-219-4636. QC Kinetics. We'll be right back.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Big show for you tonight, or this afternoon. We got We Want to Know Wednesday, so we've got to work some of those into the course of the program. I expect we'll have a little Russian television a little bit later. Looking forward to that. Seth Greenberg joins us at 2. So we've got that going on. We've got your texts, which are coming in by the truckload, as I'm told. Speaking of truckloads, Thursday we'll be raising money, which is tomorrow, for Cram the Van Live with our friends at Focus from the Kroger in Stony Brook. Focus will be matching the first $5,000 in listener donations to benefit Wayside Christian Mission, Salvation Army, and St. Vincent de Paul. We'll have a GoFundMe page, a phone number to call, a Venmo to use, or you can simply donate in person. Stop off and say hello Thursday, tomorrow, live from the Kroger in Stony Brook with Focus caffeinated sparkling water, which Nick is raving about the new flavor, I guess. The
mint. What are they got? It's mint. You can only get it online. We got to taste it before all you guys. Not an out of boo boo. It's really tasty. It's really good. By the way, quick side note. Speaking of mint, it is a Witch Wednesday. Shout out to the fine folks at Witch Witch. I had my favorite. It's a Cali Club. But I absolutely nommed the hell out of it and made a massive mess. And then I thanks, Dad. I kicked a jack that was on the floor for the headphones. But I thought it was a mouse. It might very well have been a mouse because Process said that we had a mouse in the studio many, many months ago.
Ugh.
I have never seen one. But that said, it got me thinking I should probably clean up my act a little bit. Now, I have been very good about taking trash out.
Nathan is very proud of you, I'm sure.
Yes, he is. And we're all trying to collectively as the producers do a better job with that. Not to pat myself on the back, but I'm going to pat myself on the back. I've taken it out the past like 3 weeks. But I still leave a mess everywhere I go when I eat because I use my mouth just as a suggestion.
Okay.
So I figure, you know, I should do something nice for the studio. I'm on Amazon right now, and I don't know why people don't use these more. I love good vacuums. I've had up and down relationships with them, but at the end of the day, you can't beat a good vacuum. That said, a lot of vacuums I think are overrated. They clog. You know, you can't suck up like a massive like amount of food. I mean, it's a pain in the ass. They break. They're expensive. What happened to the good old just push vacuums? You know, I mean, the ones that like they're not electronic.
You mean a floor sweeper?
A floor sweeper. Exactly. So I'm buying one. They're $20. You don't have to get a Dyson. You don't have to get like, I mean, look, those things are cool and everything like that. But I feel like vacuums they break. They just do. And maybe it's just because I beat the crap out of them and I try to vacuum up.
They're not really designed to. They're not really designed to suck up whole hero sandwiches. That's the whole point. You know, you need like a wet vac for that. They're designed to pick up like lint. And
like
things.
A shop vac. I'm just going around.
Yeah, you're gonna vacuum your house with a shop vac. Yeah, I mean that's.
But so I just.
So you're buying one? Well, that's a nice thing because they work. The restaurants use them a lot because they don't want to be vacuuming while the people are eating.
Yeah,
you know, that
quiet.
Sound, so.
That's the other thing. I've tried to vacuum here and, you know, justifiably, the people on the air are like, hey, Nick, let's play a game called Shut the Blank Up. And I mean, I'm on their side in that. So this thing's quiet. It's cheap, so I can break it over process's head. And it's not going to be the end of times. And that's the other thing. Like, the more I'm thinking about this, I mean, it's all those cool vacuums that they've made smaller and more compact. And again, they are cool, but they're expensive and they break easily. Mm-hmm. None of them are as maneuverable as one of those stupid little push vacuums. They aren't. There's always a little crease, a little back thing, a little spot under a chair that you can't quite reach because they're too big and bulky.
You need attachments. You got to have your attachments.
Yeah, but then it looks like a Swiss Army knife, and it falls apart everywhere. And I mean, I guarantee you, every household.
Well, they used to be sponsors of ours, so we have Miele's, and those things are spectacularly good.
I'm saying there's good vacuums out there.
Is that what ours is called? A Miele?
I have no idea.
It's a German company that's like the best vacuum in the world. It's ridiculous.
Who they sponsor? They sponsored us here?
I don't want to
besmirch them by any stretch.
Way back.
Was this before, like, Pabst Beef Jerky? That was, like, the first sponsor I remember.
Yeah, you weren't working here yet.
We had vacuums?
What do you think? We have two vacuums at home because they sponsored us. We had one for up. Yeah, it's Miele. Miele is the best. And I'll tell you why it's the best.
We had vacuums. We got appliances back in the day.
Well,
nice.
Yeah, because the thing about it is even the good vacuums, if you have a very bad allergy situation when you vacuum, a little bit sneaks out of the machine and gets back into the air. Miele is made a different way where nothing gets out. So it's so good you actually can almost use it, which you can. Not almost, you can. You could use it as an air purifier if you wanted to. So it's expensive. I mean, I'm looking online. They're Miele complete canister vacuums, like $1,000. But that's with all the attachments. But it's really good. They have cheaper ones, so if you're so inclined. And again, I'm getting no sponsorship for this. They don't. The company that maybe this is bad for our sponsors to hear. The guy that was sponsoring us went out of business. We didn't drag as much business his way as he would have liked. But it's I will tell you this: a fantastic vacuum. I mean, if you're looking for a gift I don't know who you'd give that to necessarily. Your wife might get mad, but if you need a new vacuum, it's worth a couple extra $100. They're magnificent. They're really, really good. So there's that. Miele.
Is a vacuum the vacuum the only thing that you can say sucks and it's actually a compliment?
I think so. I think maybe that or a sucker, if you want to refer to a lollipop that way, probably get away with that. But like, if you're discussing
an adult film star, maybe.
Yeah, women of the night or something. No, that's not. They don't want that on the radio. They definitely don't want that.
Yeah, that's the only radio appropriate one. This guy says 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Get a Kirby. I had a love hate relationship with Kirby's because they had that power steering feature, which was pretty damn cool. Mm-hmm. But it was because they were heavy as hell.
Yeah,
so when
they
I
are.
Was a little kid, it would run over my toes and I broke my foot. So
we had those too. We've gone through like every brand of vacuum cleaners. We had a Kirby. They're good. They are.
But
good.
That's the thing. When you get old enough and you can handle that power, that thing is built like a tank.
It is.
I mean, mom
had somebody in her family who sold these vacuums that are another. I don't know if they still make them. I think they did. They were called Rainbow vacuum cleaners. And they still do. And these, you talk about, like the buying a Jaguar of vacuums, they generally cost like more than $1,200. But the premise behind them is they work. At least the old ones did. Now again, she had one. Her parents had one from 40 years ago because somebody in their family sold them. It's a swirling pool of water inside the vacuum. And the dirt gets sucked in and then goes into the water, so it doesn't get, so it won't escape. That's how it catches it.
That sounds
it catches
gross.
It in the water. Well, you don't swim in there. You just you always have to throw something dirty out with a vacuum, a bag or something. So it's a high quality water filtration vacuum. It relies on the power of water to remove allergens and dirt.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, and that's another one that was gross, big cool. And expensive, and so they had one of those for years. That was your grandmother's vacuum, and we had it. We might still have it somewhere, but the best one for my money has been the Miele. I love the Miele.
Well, this guy a texter says use the Bissell hand pushy one, but I don't want to spend more than like $20 on this, so I'm on.
Well, you're going to get what you pay for, dude. I mean,
but this thing
Bissell carpet cleaners. The Bissell carpet sweepers rather are I think they are considered among the best. Now, you want to get something really good? You know what you should do? I'll tell you what you should do.
I don't want to get something really good. I want to get something really cheap that'll do its job.
Well, you should go on the website that sells to restaurants because the ones they have are the best ones.
That's not a bad idea. Maybe I should go to Restaurant Depot. I'm going there for
serious.
Aprons.
Look there. They'll probably cost you more, but I mean it'll work like a vacuum if you really want to get the damn thing clean. So
no, I just need something to pick up like bits of lettuce and stuff. And it comes in three. The one I'm looking at right now has three different colors: red, mint, it's kind of festive, or white. All of them are actually kind of festive. I mean, you have like the mint, which is kind of like holiday-y snow.
Bissell's
not expensive. To Jack.
Here's a Cyber Week sale on Bissell, the Refresh Carpet Floor Manual Sweeper, $25.74. Can't beat that.
What's shipping, though? Because I'm on Amazon, and shipping's free if I get the red or the white one.
Shipping and handling? Nah, it's going to cost you $5. $6 to ship.
437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Nick sounds like Paulie from the Rocky movies when his voice goes up. A siphon.
All right, let's get to texts about Satterfield and basketball and things because I know I can't imagine people are sending in texts about vacuums at the beginning. And Terry and I don't know how they found out what room I'm in, but they just slipped a note under the door here. The guy at the front desk said we got a call from some twins in Louisville that said talk sports, damn it. So thank you.
437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Texter says are we talking vacuums because Sat sucks.
Hey, but I'm a.
Stain has
by the way, you want to hear
Stain
something
has
touching?
An excellent warranty if you break it. It's about 30% vacuums, 70% sat right now.
Well, see that I'm telling you, we have I love our listeners because we are a fearless bunch. I mean, this is sports radio and we don't give a rat's ass that you know what, we know vacuums. And if you don't have a problem with that, then go somewhere else. Because that's the way it works. Because we know vacuums, we know food, we know sports. And we're going to talk about all those things because this is life. And you know what? Life is limitless in its fascination. So there you go.
I got it.
So thank you. Thank you for the vacuum text. That could be a stoplight challenge, by the way.
Oh, name a bunch of... Oh, I'm on it. Bissell, Dirt Devil, Oric, Kirby, Dyson.
Miele.
There you go. Whatever the hell this thing is. Where was my Amazon? This Alpine Industries triple brush.
No, you're cheating. You're looking on you
all
got the
other
cabin.
Ones are straight off the dome, homie.
No, I know. Hoover. You've got six
what about
good
Hoover?
Ones. Hoover. How could you forget Hoover? Seriously. What the hell? Pretty good. That was seven good ones right off the top of the dome. And you see, that head is big. There's stuff crammed in there. I know that. That's where you. That's in a little corner for vacuum names, right behind the frontal lobe.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Grew up on a rainbow. That water is the worst. Would rather clean the toilet.
Well, there you go. So, hey, note to advertising department. Don't look for a sponsorship from Rainbow. We're going to have a hard time getting them on board.
All right. Let's get to the SAT text because there's a litany of them. Let's see here. I'll start with one where someone agrees with you. I totally agree with you, Bob. This guy, he was mad at Maben yesterday, said that he was pushing conspiracy theories that Tyre is UK biased. I was on the board for that. I don't think that's
what ridiculous.
Now Maben and Rummage have been very, very vocal about wanting to move on from Satterfield. That much is true, but I don't think they were pushing.
Okay, that's fine. That's their opinion. But
theories.
To me, those are two different things. One is, you're right, you nailed it on the head. One is, I don't think the guy's job is worthy of, his performance is worthy of keeping him. That's your opinion. That's why you have a sports talk show. Fine. But when you cast aspersions at Vince about his motives, that's really presumptuous. Like, he's in there somehow looking out for UK. I'm sorry. That's absurd.
Well, I was on the board. I don't think that really happened. Like, I was not let me put it this way. I was not picking up any of those conspiracy vibes. And if anything was said, it was strictly tongue in cheek.
Oh, okay.
But
all
yeah,
right.
No. I mean, Mabin and Rummage are very, very, very pro Brahm and have been for a while. They've been consistent in that. 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. Bobby, you can feel how you want about U of L making a change or not, but so can our fans. Our family just dropped 7 season tickets. I've had them for 23 years. If a change is made, I'll sign up again.
Did you not listen to what I said? I said exactly that. I said that if there are enough people that say that, I'm not urging you to do that by any stretch, but I'm saying the fans speak with their wallets. And if there's when Cragthorpe was his days were numbered, it was obvious they couldn't go on getting 20,000 people a game. It was ridiculous. So it was time to move on. I get that. So if that's what you, I'm not persuading you one way or another. I'm just merely saying that for me, his performance is not as bad as the hysteria that seems to be surrounding him right now. On the field, off the field, he has made a whole bunch of missteps. That's all I was saying. That's the only thing I was saying. So I wasn't trying to persuade you, or I'm just saying I'm not going to talk about potential successors until the job is open. Now, you could say, well, I'm not talking about successors either. I'm just telling you I'm not coming anymore. If he's still coach, fine. That's well within your rights. You're a customer. You know, my mother, this is going to sound funny to you, but I'll tell you a very, very, very quick story. My brother Jim was, you know, pretty much in demand for a while for people wanted to endorse things. And so because of our Italian-American heritage, there is actually, I don't know if they sell it around here. I don't think they do. But in New York, one of the really big pastas that they sold was called Ronzoni. And that's because there was a man named Ron. That was his name, Ron Ronzoni. There's actually a guy.
Wait, it wasn't Ron Zoni?
No, his name was Ronald Ronzoni. Ron Ronzoni.
That sounds like Archie Diacono. Yeah, it was
very nice guy. And so he came to Jim and said, "I want you to, be a spokesman for us." And he said, "Oh, great." He said, "Well, you know, my mother's the cook. You know," he said, "Great. We'll send her a case of the various pastas we make." And they sent it, and my mother, to God bless, rest her soul, but God bless her integrity, said to Jim, "I don't use Ronzoni anymore." And Jim said, "What?" She said, "They it's too starchy. You put it in the pot, and the whole thing is just filled with foam." And so my brother, to his credit, went back to Ron and said, "Well, got a little news for you. My mom says she's not using it anymore because it's too starchy." And he just chuckled, and he said, "Well, she's right. We changed our formula. We changed the way we made it, and we got a lot of complaints about that. And now we're going back to make it the other way." And so they made it, you know, the other way. So my point was,
and then did Uncle Jim, was he a spokesperson at that point?
Yeah,
after
yeah,
they fixed it. Look at that.
Yeah. But my point is, so that's you with you loved Ronzoni pasta, and then they changed the formula, and you say, "Well, I'm not buying it anymore." That's well within your rights. I'm not lecturing anybody. I'm just saying to you that I don't think they changed the formula enough for me to see enough of a difference that I would give him a chance still to get it straight, I guess, is what I'm saying. He's only been here 3 years, one of which was COVID-related. But the thing that is a problem for me is I wish he would read the room better. He doesn't get the room at all. He really doesn't. And I don't understand that at all. He seems like a bright enough guy. He's a quarterback. Not that quarterbacks are necessarily smarter. Arguably, you can make a case the Biscuit will like this. The offensive linemen are maybe the smartest guys on the field.
Usually perform highest on Wonderlics?
Yeah, it's incredibly bright. Right, guys.
Especially,
and that's why a lot
center.
Of them wind up being good commentators and things. You know, Will Wolford did the Colts games for a while. They're very bright guys.
Jeff Saturday, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another good example. So, for what it's worth, that's all I'm saying. So don't misinterpret that. I said the same thing that you were saying, basically. If that's the case, but the only reason I didn't want to say it that way is because I don't want somebody to interpret that as somehow saying, "Hey, I'm urging all you people, stay home." No, that's not what I'm saying. But if enough people do that, then yeah, then they certainly listen to the customers. There's no question about that.
437-9680 UPS jobs text line. Texter says, "Are you guys naming U of L coaching potential hires? Dyson, Bissell, Mille? Who's the best candidate?"
Well, sorry, say it again. I was reading a text from somebody. Say it again.
The texter is making light of, he said, wait, are you guys naming potential coaching replacement hires? Bissell, Mille?
Well, There's a joke there hanging. It's a lot. You know where we're going with it. Nike wouldn't hire any of those guys. They all suck.
There it is. Ka-chish,
thank you. I'm here all week.
Another texter says, Hoover, barely knew her.
So, pardon me.
Yes, God, sorry. You are killing me. These are back-to-back funny texts, and you keep stepping away from the microphone and killing the comedy. Killing it.
I had a sneeze. What do you want me to do?
Did you hear that, though?
That Hoover barely knew her?
That's a great line. That's a great line. I'm very pleased with our texters. I'm sorry that happened in the middle of a sneeze. Look, they say, actually, you're not supposed to hold in a sneeze, because if you hold in a sneeze, you can have an aneurysm. But do you have, like, a foolproof, like, way when you feel a sneeze is coming on, how you kind of...
If I have to, like, in a meeting, something very important, and I just can't, you try and pinch your nose.
I usually just try not to breathe. Or maybe that's what I do with the hiccups. I forgot. No, that's my hiccups thing. I just try to hold my breath.
No, I pinch my nose, and sometimes it'll, you know. Sometimes you saw that on TV. A guy's about to sneeze. He takes his index finger, and he pushes it up underneath his nose. It's the same principle. So,
yeah, but if you're about to sneeze, they say don't hold it in. Like, I mean, you got to let it go.
What do you want me to do? You just asked me how I hold it in.
I know. I'm just saying. 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. The texter says that he likes your... practical you, but he thinks the players should only get paid if they win. It'll give him a little extra incentive.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you know what? I'm not necessarily sure. I don't agree with that, because that's what coaches get. I mean, look at Stoops' deal. He gets a year automatically added to his contract if they win 7 games, and 2 years automatically added if he wins 10 games. So why shouldn't the players get a little something? I don't have a problem with that. Thank you. You could be on our advisory board. I'm going to make you a board member for Practical You. Get that guy's name.
All right. Can do. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Let's see here. I disagree, Bob. If he stays, it's going to financially destroy the program. And the fact your freshman star wide receiver decided to transfer, well, that's not a good sign.
I agree with that, except for the fact that, take a look around, everybody's leaving. Everybody leaves. They should be allowed to go, but they are so excited, these kids. It's like a new toy at Christmas. I mean, sometimes I think they just want to be recruited again, and so there's that. So I wouldn't read that much into that. This first part is not contradictory to what I said, though, sir or ma'am, whoever sent that. If nobody shows up and they're taking a bath financially, yes, then what I've tried to say over and over is, this is a business. That's how you make the decision. You look at it and say, if we only get 25,000 people a game, here's what it's going to cost us. But if we have to buy this guy out of his contract and go hire another guy, how much is that going to cost us? And then you weigh those up and you try and figure out what you're doing. People think that you make the decisions like fans do. Gee, if we hire this guy, we'll win games. Well, maybe you will, but maybe you'll go on probation. Maybe the guy's a known cheater. Maybe he'll cost you so much money it actually you lose money in the deal. I mean, that's the whole point. It's a business, and that's all it is. That's the thing that's amazing. We always understood that these guys do this for a living, but we always thought there was some semblance of, you know, the emotion that fans have for it. The more it goes, the more you realize there's hardly any of that. Really, hardly any of it. I mean, it's all business. It's all driven by business. The starting times of the games, the bowl games, everything is driven by business. And so that's fine. But stop pretending it's not. And the weird thing that strikes me is, in a crazy way, you know, I talk about this all the time. The NFL... in some ways, seems more linked with their fans than colleges do. And maybe it's because they are so driven by the consumer, the customer, that they don't make decisions unless they think it resonates with the customer. The colleges are so consumed with themselves. They're in their own heads so much about how can we milk some more money out of this. I mean, I hate to say this. I really like Vince, and I think he's a hell of an AD. But, you know... when he sent that tweet out the other day, did you see it? He was talking about Cards fans what they want. And, of course, I knew as soon as he did that, he was going to get a bunch of snarky responses that said, what, we're firing Satterfield? So, he set his coach up to be thrown under the bus, for starters. And secondly, what was he talking about? He's talking about that Comcast now is going to carry the games. Why was he excited about that? Because that means $40 million more. That means $40 million more. And that's, remember when, I mean, Tom Jurich, they would call press conferences to announce that they made more money. And I'm saying to myself, the fans don't give a spit about that. I mean, they don't. They don't care about that. They want to know, you know, what players do we have coming? What, you know, who's the coach that's going to be here? What experience do you have for me? You know, what this is an answer that you guys are making more money. Congratulations. But they get so wrapped up in that and they define themselves by that, that they think that everybody else is going to celebrate it. Not that it's not good news. Congratulations. You did really good in your business, but it's business, and it that's at the fore. An NFL team rarely calls a press conference to say we're making more money. They might call one to say, "Hey, we've created a whole new fan experience for you guys," or, you know, whatever. But they rarely call one to say, "You wouldn't believe how much freaking money we're making. It's unbelievable. It's almost obscene, to be honest with you." I mean, they don't. So, you know, that to me is, in a bizarre way, it seems like they're more dialed in with the fans often than the colleges are.
Sometimes so, I feel like those tweets only fuel the whole, well, if you have that much money, then why don't you use it to, you know, buy them out? I almost kind of feel like, but see, that's the thing. Like, from people way closer to the situation than I am, people at the station, people have talked to other people. From our station have other contacts that I feel like are way more dialed in. From what I've heard, you can throw that out. The money is not an issue with this. And this texter says 437-968 UPS jobs text line, $8.3 million total on buyouts and empty stadium is going to cost more than that. There's another texter here that I
want.
How
does he know that? How does he know that? Seriously, I'd like to see the formula that says that.
I don't know. That's a fair point, but I've heard from way more credible sources than not that the $8.3 million is not going to be a breaking point for any future decisions being made. So I think some people can maybe rest easy on that one. I'm not sure. I've heard people worry about that from both sides. Fire Satterfield, keep Satterfield.
I love people who say that, though. I mean, people say. I'm so sick of people say. Maybe they're right, but I don't know. I know my brother was an AD for a while. $8.3 million gets your attention.
It's not. It is not nothing to sneeze at. Ha, see what we did? It's nothing to sneeze at. But you're also, like you said, there's a lot. I mean, they're signing a $40 million TV deal. I mean, there's the money seemingly. I agree with you. I was kind of like, people were just saying, the money's out. The money's out there. Jonathan Blue can play. I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. But from credible sources, have said that they 8.3 not insignificant, but they have it. They got the stacks for it.
Okay, but then they got to go get another guy, and who's the guy you're going to get? And what are you going to pay him?
Well, I think everyone here is clamoring for Brom, and I'm going to tease this too because next hour we got to take a break here. Our boy Smush is going to join at 1:15, but Pete Futek. Yesterday on The Take with Andy Sweeney, shout out to Jack for cutting these. He basically, when Brom's name got brought up, I mean, a lot of the people here for the Fire Sat crew are, you know, it's almost like the old Looney Tunes cartoon, Leopold. It's Brom, Jeff Brom, it's Brom. You know, and I'm not saying he doesn't deserve that. But Futek threw a little bit of cold water on that fire and was like, why is everyone that enthused about Brom? So I have some sound from Pete Futek we can get to on the other side. But this is what I want to leave you going into break.
I want to leave you something going to break, so don't go to music without me giving a chance to say this.
All right. Nick yesterday was Johnny Two-Sides-ing at Switzerland, trying to stay in the middle because that's truly how I feel. I've gone back and forth with whether or not I feel like Satterfield should leave or whether or not I think he should get one more year. I've gone back and forth. Phil was pretty much, he wasn't, you know, ridiculous about it, but he was pretty entrenched in the, hey, I think it's time to,
you know, maybe move on. And Nick Curran was taking on all comers. He was John L. Sullivan, fighting the text line, fighting me at points, fighting Phil at points, and basically just taking up for Sat and saying that he deserves one more year. So a texter asked him, and Nick had a brilliant response. He said, Nick, you know, fair enough. Pitch me. Give me your elevator pitch on why somebody should buy into the football program next season. And Nick Curran said, well, I'm a ticket rep for the Bats. We've sucked for a long time. And so he basically said, bet. And he went, you know, and he gave his pitch. And it wasn't bad. So this texter is asking you the same thing. Bobby V, what would your pitch be to get fans to buy into U of L's football season next year if Satterfield stays? So that's what I want to leave you with. And then we'll get to break, get your take on that. Smush will join us, and we'll have Pete Futek, and that'll take us to Seth Greenberg at 2. So what do you want to ask me?
Because we want to know Wednesday, and I am excited about this, because we've been talking about the business of college football. Did you know what group of animals is called a business? These are some awesome
names. We want to know Wednesday.
You'll never guess this.
Elephants?
Nope. A group of ferrets is called a business of ferrets.
Business of ferrets.
Isn't that great? And you must know that a group of crows is called, you know what that is?
Murder.
A murder. It is a murder of crows. There's a whole bunch of these. I'm loving these. A group of buffalo are called a gang or an obstinacy. Obstinacy. Liking that. So I'm enjoying it. A group of apes are called a shrewdness. Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's interesting. I like this. We could do this. We could sprinkle these.
I got a million of them. We'll come back. Stay with us.
Pops, wait before you go.
But
what do you call a group of Italians?
Hungry.
or a felony.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.